again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris. And we're going to be continuing our discussion that we started last episode when we discussed the new compilation Pure McCartney. And I think we had a pretty good spirited debate in that episode, didn't we? But today's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be part one of a two-part series, and the second part will come sometime in the near future or far future, depending on all the episodes.
how we feel.
How we feel. But Chris has strategically titled this episode Compilation Compilation, and we're really interested in these, for lack of a better word, greatest hits collections, or what people have done to package the Beatles songs together and kind of how they impact how we feel about particular songs, how certain songs stick out more than others, and if it's even helped certain songs become even more famous than they might have been. So the Beatles have quite a few of these going through just the Beatles as a group.
Obviously, when the Beatles got popular, they tried a bunch of these money grab type ones where they threw together the Tony Sheridan thing and in a bunch of different ways. So we're probably going to gloss over those. There's one I think called "I Saw Her Standing There," which came out in 2013, which is probably the best collection of those, just because it was just a few years ago, and it gives you some Tony Sheridan and some cruddy sounding Cavern Club and some of that kind of stuff. But we're really thinking about there are greatest hits collections. There are collections that are sort of thematic ones. There's a lot of those. There are some collections that are just non-album tracks. Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about these. We're just going to talk about the Beatles today, though.
Yes, exactly. And I wonder, do you think just speaking for myself, because I actually became a Beatle fan with one of these collections that we're going to talk about, and I'm curious if you were the same way. Did you become a Beatle fan by listening to Rubber Soul, or was it one of these compilation albums that we're going to talk about? Like, how do you think most people get into the group?
Well, I've talked to several people that are a little bit younger, and a lot of those people got into the group due to one of these collections.
Oh,
some of the younger under 30 type people.
Mm-hmm.
How I got into them was I found a couple cassettes, and the first cassette I found was actually Sgt. Pepper.
Mm.
And then that got me interested, and one of these collections we'll talk about was one of my first cassettes where I listened to it till it probably wore out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What about yourself?
Yeah, well, definitely one of the collections we're going to talk about, the 20 Greatest Hits, was the first Beatle record that I ever had. And I think there's a real benefit. It's very much like one. There's a benefit to Greatest Hits collections, I think. To the real fans, they're, as we just discussed with the McCartney compilation, there's not a lot to offer the real fans. But for somebody who's just getting into a group, I think things like that, 20 Greatest Hits or the Red and Blue albums, things like that can really be kind of the window into a group. So
yeah,
there is a purpose for these things. Even if sometimes you can be a little cynical and it does seem like they're just grubbing for money, especially in some of these 70s collections, which we'll get into in a little bit. But you ready to dig into the first one?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this first one. It's interesting.
Yeah. So this was released in the UK and in the European market in 1966, around Christmas time. And, record company, everyone wants to have some product for Christmas. And the Beatles didn't have anything in 1966 because Revolver was earlier in the year, and so they really didn't have much to put out. So EMI was getting a little nervous, got to get some more money, and so they decided to put together a 16-track collection. It has the funny name of A Collection of Beatles Oldies, and then for Chris, in parentheses, dot, 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 but Goldies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oldies but Goldies.
Oldies but Goldies. Not goodies, but Goldies. Yeah. And it's basically a collection of all the hits up to 1966, including some album tracks that weren't singles in the UK, like Yesterday or Please Please Me. But there's one track on here that's a little bit weird. It really stands out. Let me do a reading here, and you tell me, Chris, which one. Just stop me when it sounds a little unusual here, okay?
Okay, okay.
She Loves You.
Okay.
For Me to You.
Makes sense.
We Can Work It Out.
Sure.
Help.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of...
Michelle.
Yeah, yeah, makes
Yesterday.
Sense.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I Feel Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow Submarine.
Oh, what a side one.
I know, that's pretty great.
That's just a perfect side one.
Pretty great. Can't Buy Me Love.
Okay, I'm in.
All right. Bad Boy.
What?
Bad Boy.
Is that a hit?
No.
Or even a popular song in any way?
Not really. So that was the weird anomaly here. EMI's trying to be good to fans here and give them something that they didn't have because it was only released on Beatles 6 in America.
Oh.
Yeah, so they gave them this track. And so I don't know. Maybe why don't we listen to Bad Boy and maybe you'll change your opinion after you hear it.
Okay.
A bad little kid moved into my neighborhood. He won't do nothing right, just until that look so good. He don't want to go to school and learn to read and write. He sits around the house and plays the rock and roll. Junior, behave yourself. Buy every rock and roll book on a magazine stand. Every dime that he gets is off to the jukebox man. Well, he worries his teeth until at night she's ready to poop. From rocking and a rolling, spinning and a hula
So, Bad Boy from a collection of Beatle oldies. And what were you thinking about listening to Bad Boy?
Well, I was looking at the track list here because after that, we got Day Tripper, right?
Yeah.
And Hard Day's Night, Ticket to Ride, Paperback Writer, Eleanor Rigby, and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
That's all pretty big, amazing group.
Yeah. But maybe they were just thinking, well, we need an extra John vocal. Because they're kind of going back and forth with the John and Paul.
But, I mean, it's a pretty decent collection. Yeah. And it also, it was at least, they weren't completely ruining things or taking advantage of the fans because it did take them all the way up to Revolver. You've got Eleanor Rigby and Yellow Submarine and stuff on there. So, you know, for the where they were, it was a decent collection.
Plus, we were lauding the fact that they added on Pure McCartney that they added a couple tracks that you can't get very easily. So I think that's probably, I mean, it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So the next compilation that we have was released in US and probably worldwide as well. And it has the name Hey Jude. Interesting collection here. I have the LP actually right here. Has a very nice cover from the Beatles' last recordings, or last photo session on it, I believe, at Tittenhurst Park, John's house.
Yeah, that's one of the best photo sessions. It's just really great.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an interesting collection. I listen to it a lot, and my record is probably pretty worn out. It has a very unique mix of tunes. It's this, again, kind of like what you were saying earlier about getting albums that kind of capture songs that weren't released on an album, maybe extra B-sides of singles and things like that. This has that feel to it, and it does go back all the way to 64, But it's leaning a lot more towards the more recent things. This was released in 1970, right before the Beatles broke up in February. But a lot of the tunes are from 68, 69. So what are you thinking about Hey Jude here so far?
Well, I mean, it is a real oddball collection. But if you notice, it's all non-album tracks.
Right.
The Revolution we get is not the album's Revolution.
No.
So all non-album tracks. So I think this would be a back in, say, when this came out, this would be an invaluable purchase, I would think.
Why don't we play the title track from the album, since I don't think we've played Hey Jude ever on the podcast. Can you remember in time? I don't think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll get... Yeah, it's a good song.
It's a pretty decent song. Why don't we give it a spin?
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better. Hey Jude, don't be afraid. You were made to go out and get her. The minute you let her under your skin, then you begin to make it better. And anytime you feel the pain,
yeah, so the title song, Hey Jude, from the album Hey Jude, which has a track listing. I want to see what you think of this track listing. We've got Hey Jude, Revolution, you said the B-side, the single, Paperback Writer, I Should Have Known Better, Lady Madonna, Can't Buy Me Love, Don't Let Me Down, Ballad of John and Yoko, Rain, and Old Brown Shoe.
Yeah, I mean, I like all those songs a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a little weird to have, say, the Ballad of John and Yoko and Can't Buy Me Love in the same collection.
Yeah, yeah. It's
so, but pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. So that was 1970, and then, of course...
I mean, you should buy... If you find that in a record store, you should buy that just for the cover.
Yes.
And the back of it looks good, too.
Definitely good to hang on your wall. And so then, of course, the Beatles split up. And the first real collection after they split up is one that's infamous and in a good way. And I think every Beatle fan knows about
it. isn't that just famous?
That's true. It's very famous. Let's just say it's good point. It's famous. Yes, they're both famous. And they're famous because they're known by their color the actual album. So the red and blue albums, but otherwise known as The Beatles, 1962 to 66, and then 1967 to 70.
And, of course, another very defining thing about this collection is the picture on the front.
Yeah.
The picture on the red album, of course, is the same picture that they use on the cover of their very first album.
Mm-hmm.
Took it back in 62, and that's Please Please Me. But then they...
have a little just, more hair.
Yeah, just awesomely took this right at their end of the career with where they're looking all John's like particularly hairy.
He had a fat beard, didn't he?
Yeah. So that's the cover of the Blue album, and that is just really cool looking.
Yeah. So these are great double albums, and a lot of people complain about this about them now because they were when they were released on CD. You could actually put them on one CD. At least the Red album, I believe, could be put on one CD. But you know, people grumbled that Apple wanted them to pay more for a double CD. But I don't know. Whatever. However you think about it, but they're great collections. And I think, to me, if the Beatles had a greatest hits, these would be it. Like, it's not just the hits. I think that's what's important too. It's other tracks too.
Yeah, there's some non-album tracks on it and some album tracks on it too.
Right.
Let's play from the first. So the Red collection, let's just talk about the Red collection for a minute. So that starts with Love Me Do, Please Please Me, From Me to You, She Loves You, Want to Hold Your Hand, All My Loving, Can't Buy Me Love. That's a fantastic first side.
Yeah.
And then Hard Day's Night, And I Love Her, 8 Days a Week, I Feel Fine, Ticket to Ride, Yesterday. That's, boy.
Yeah. One just, after just, another. And then then record two has Help, You've Got to Hide Your Love Away, which we're going to hear momentarily. We Can Work It Out, Day Tripper, Drive My Car, Norwegian Wood, Nowhere Man, Michelle, In My Life, Girl, Paperback Writer, Eleanor Rigby, and Yellow Submarine. So, and again, really comprehensive, maybe a little bit thin on the Revolver tracks, but still, you know, pretty good. Inside, there are a couple of Chris favorites on here that may not have gotten placed on other albums, like Girl is on here.
Yeah.
And other things too. So lots of good choices. So we thought we'd play You've Got to Hide Your Love Away from the album.
Here I stand, head in hand, turn my face to the wall. If she's gone, I can't go on, feeling 2 foot small. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say,
that's just a great, great, great tune.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to hear these tracks out of context like this. Just kind of, you know, as we've said before, we do listen to other music and we don't listen to Beatles 24/7. So when you haven't heard some of these songs in a while, it hits you and you realize how great they are again.
Yeah. Now, I just think that Red and Blue are just like the quintessential kind of like records to buy a Beatle record. If you were starting a Beatle record collection, if you're starting a record collection, period, the Red and the Blue albums would be perfect first purchases. I one of my brothers or my brother-in-law or somebody had one of these, and I listened to that a lot at a certain point in my Beatle fan development.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, like, to go along with that point, when I taught my Beatles class, this was what I had them buy. And now they don't. Now they can just listen online. But you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I had the students buy the Red and the Blue albums because it was very, you know, comprehensive. Although I remember reading one review that said, "How in the hell did some of these tracks get on there? And especially in the Blue album, why in the hell is Old Brown Shoe on there?" So.
Well, I don't think that's fair. I like Old Brown.
Well, I know. I think it's great. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, again, this is kind of collecting some of the B-sides and some of the odder tracks that weren't on albums, but I think they all have a place, you know. So, I mean, as we move on to the Blue album, how's the track listing read for the first part of the Blue album?
Well, it starts with Strawberry Fields Forever, which that's interesting.
Yeah.
And then Penny Lane, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, With a Little Help from My Friends, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, A Day in the Life, All You Need is Love. Then what would be side two here? I Am the Walrus, Hello, Goodbye, Fool on the Hill, Magical Mystery Tour, Lady Madonna, Hey Jude, and Revolution.
Yeah, that's a pretty good first disc. And then so we move into White album tracks here. Back in the USSR, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, Obla Dee Obla Da. Then Get Back, Don't Let Me Down, Ballad of John and Yoko, Old Brown Shoe. Here Comes the Sun, Come Together, Something, Octopus's Garden, hey, the little Ringo, Let It Be, Across the Universe, and The Long and Winding Road. So, what do you want to hear from the Blue Album?
I'm gonna stick it to those guys, and let's play some Old Brown Shoe. Because right. It really stands out on the album. It really does. But I think it stands out in sort of a way that you kind of appreciate it. So, Old Brown Shoe.
Old Brown Shoe from the Blue album, 1967 and 1970. And how are these albums put together? Did the Beatles get together? They were in really good terms at that time, weren't they? They were really hanging out and pals.
Yeah, they didn't have anything to do with this, really. It was Alan Klein, Beatles manager at the time,
of all people,
Klein, who put this together, and he actually did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
maybe the only thing I've ever liked Alan Klein for. we have to do an Alan Klein episode.
We still have to read that biography that came out about him 2 years ago, maybe last year, a year ago, 2 years ago. Got a lot of good reviews, so there's got to be more to the story. So We'll dig into some Alan Klein. Maybe a manager's episode on Brian and Alan Klein.
Yeah, the other thing that sort of stands out from this is there's only three album tracks from the White album, mm-hmm. which is a pretty humongoid album. So yeah. I'm not sure if Obla Dee Obla Da would have been one of my choices, but I can understand that. So I it seems like he was just trying to balance, you know, a little bit of singles, a little bit of non-album tracks, a little bit of album tracks, so that it wouldn't cut into, say, sales of Abbey Road or something.
Right, the actual albums. Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty good albums, very famous.
Yes, definitely. And now, with the wonders of playlists, is you can just make your own. If you've got all the regular albums, you can make your own playlist and save yourself the $40 or whatever it would cost to get the actual CDs or do it that way. So,
But once again, I have to stress, I always think of these as like records.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. And in fact, speaking of records, I'm holding our next entry into the collection of compilations. So,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. here they are. So then nothing happened for a few years, and in 1976, they released something called the Rock and Roll Music, and it was actually started with the re-release of a single, Great Revolver track. It was 10 years since that had been released, with Got to Get You Into My Life, and the B-side was Helter Skelter. Kind of an interesting combination yes. of tunes, because supposedly, well, not supposedly, yeah, it was actually a movie about the Manson family, Helter Skelter, so hey, what great marketing, perfect time, let's put that out. So
odd single.
Yeah, very strange.
But I had, in my youth, this was my first cassette that I bought.
Oh.
Was Rock and Roll Music Part 2. So I just had Part 2. And I remember going to something called College for Kids.
Mm.
And you'd wait around. Mom or Dad would drop me off there, and I'd wait around for a while for the class to begin. And they had classes for kids.
Mm-hmm.
At Parkland College in Champaign.
Oh, yes, in Champaign.
Yeah, and I would listen to this while I was waiting on a little cassette player with headphones. And the song that really popped out to me on this part two, just really sticks in my head hearing it the first few times, is Got to Get You Into My Life. So let's go ahead and listen to that a little bit.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Ooh, and I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? You didn't run, you lie, you knew I wanted just to hold you. And had you gone, you knew in time we'd meet again, for I had told you. Ooh, you were meant to be near me. Ooh, and I want you to hear me say,
I Got to Get Into My Life, the new Beatles single from 1976. But, you know, record companies do this every once in a while. I guess it's happened a lot in the past years with these reissues. It's kind of a way to reintroduce a group or to bring them back into the public attention again. Because, you know, I'm sure Yellow Submarine and Sgt. Pepper, all these albums and things were going to be still selling, but... by 6 years after the Beatles split up, Paul McCartney was with Wings. They were all doing their separate things. You know, it's a new generation of fans by this point who might need an exposure to the group. So we've got these two collections, the Rock and Roll Music and then the next one. But what do you think of the collection here of actually segregating so-called rock and roll songs?
Well, it seemed like to me what this was originally, when it originally came out, was kind of, if you remember in the 70s, there was a sort of 50s nostalgia thing going on.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite shows of all time, Happy Days, would be the highest example of that on television. So this set has always seemed to me to sort of be kind of like, well, let's find some stuff that let's find some of these, because a lot of particularly the second side of the first one, I think, is all covers.
Yeah.
You know, so Kansas City and Boys and Money. Matchbox and that kind of stuff. So I think maybe that's what the thinking was going behind this collection, is to try to kind of grab a little bit on the... In fact, the British album cover had a bunch of sort of titling that made it look like neon and stuff, mm-hmm. and just is really trying to make it look kind of 50s looking.
Yeah.
And a different album cover for the American collections, which of course is the two you've got there with the sort of circa 1964 picture there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. There's a few odd choices. I mean, they're rocking songs, but a few unusual ones like "Hey Bulldog" is on there.
Yeah,
which is good, and "Taxman" and "Any Time at All," kind of an interesting track. I don't think of that as being a real rocker, but it's on there, and things like that. So, pretty good collection actually overall.
And yeah, it's. I mean, I loved it when I was a youth.
Absolutely.
So, not too bad.
No. So then a year later, or a couple years later, actually, we get the opposite of rock and roll music. We get love songs, which should scare you right away, I guess, when something's called love songs.
Yeah, I usually just cringe and back away from any kind of like love songs collection or anything like that. But this is obviously pretty great. The Beatles wrote a bunch of great, great love songs.
You have a lot of the typical things you think about, like Yesterday or one we're going to play in a second, Something, things like that are obvious choices. I don't know. In My Life is on here. Do you consider that a love song? I don't know if I necessarily consider that in a traditional love song.
Yeah, there's a couple on here, like For No One's on there too.
Ooh,
that's a little. I mean, it's beautiful. I think they're, you know, it's a beautiful song. So they're just being like, yeah, that's a slow, beautiful song. So
yeah.
So in my life, it's not really a love song either. So
yeah. So a couple of maybe suspect choices here, but it's got like a very, even the cover is kind of, I don't want to say cheesy, but it's a little, like, sort of sappy looking. It's in gold sequiny kind of writing. And I don't know. These things are all for marketing, but I don't know. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Do you think this would really... Again, the negative of any of these things is it gives you just one side of a group.
Strange, these thematic album collections like this. I usually don't go in for something like this, but I haven't tried it.
No.
I've never heard this one. So I might put together a little, cop together a little version of this through stuff I already own.
Yeah.
And see what it sounds like.
So yeah, see how it
I would think this would be a little bit more odd than the rock and roll music collection.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything's a lot slower.
Yeah, definitely.
So
you got both sides of it. You got the rock and roll music and you got the love songs. So put them together and you have some great stuff. So then we move into the 80s and early 80s. So John Lennon had just been killed and sort of nostalgia again for more Beatles product came out in the early 80s. And they re-released A Hard Day's Night and kind of cleaned it up and was out there again. So, hey, what a great time to put out another compilation. And this time, let's do a thematic one again of just songs that are in films, in the Beatle films. And we'll call it Real Music. R-E-E-L Music. So,
And that includes Let It Be, Help, Hard Day's Night, Magical Mystery Tour, and Yellow Submarine.
Yes.
So all five of the movies, even though we still don't have a Let It Be and may never get a Let It Be released on anything but crappy VHS.
This had a couple of interesting quirks about it. Had the first time that we had stereo versions of A Hard Day's Night and Ticket to Ride, and then there was an unusual version of I Should Have Known Better where they fix, quote unquote, fix the harmonica error in the beginning of the song. This is really for the subtle diehards here. So that was never used again, from what I remember. So kind of unusual things, but we're going to play something that they put together on a 45. It's called Beatles Movie Medley.
And yeah, talk about unusual. This is super unusual.
Yeah, so check this out.
Hey, we just jumped back to earlier the episode with you.
Yeah.
Interesting. That was real herky-jerky, some of these.
A little abrupt, yeah. So, yeah, wow. Pretty interesting to put all the Beatles film, kind of the film hits together. So you've got Hard Day's Night, Should've Known Better, Can't Buy Me Love, And I Love Her from Hard Day's Night. Help, You've Gotta Hide Your Love Away, Ticket to Ride from Help. Magical Mystery Tour, I'm the Walrus, from Magical Mystery Tour, Yellow Submarine, All You Need Is Love from Yellow Sub, and then Let It Be, Get Back, and A Long and Winding Road from Let It Be. So,
yeah,
interesting idea, yeah. I guess. So, anyway, that was...
You know, I'm all for them giving us different mixes and things like that. I Should Have Known Better mix. So.
Yeah, there's a couple neat things on it, so... So after Real Music, the same year, we had a real bona fide album called Greatest Hits, in this case 20 Greatest Hits, and this was the first record that I bought as a young Beatle fan. Bought it at Northbrook Court in Northbrook, Illinois Mall, and I don't know what happened to it, but it was kind of like an early version of One. It's got a lot of the big hits, and it was a big influence. It was kind of like the first place to hear some of the earlier tunes and things that I didn't know. So I have good memories of the 20 Greatest Hits, and it was pretty popular. So we won't go through the whole list because it's a lot of repetitive things here.
Yeah,
it's pretty much the same as One, just with a few slight changes. But 20 tunes, so
yeah,
pretty good collection.
The UK edition and the US edition were slightly different from each other as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think one or two different songs on those. But seems like a solid collection.
Yeah, definitely. So.
A nice cover. It's just the Beatles with pictures of them sort of where your classic The Beatles lettering and everything.
Yeah, the logo. So then we get into the CD era, and what happens next?
Well, you know, in the CD era, what happened was they decided, they really thought it through, it seemed like. And they're like, let's release these CDs based on the original UK editions of the albums. So they, you know, they released, I believe, two at a time, if I'm remembering right. And so they would release Please Please Me with the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe 6 months later or something, they'd release two more, and it just keeps on going. Well, the problem that gives you is now what do you do with all the singles and the non-album tracks?
Where are you going to put Rain?
Yeah, where are you going to put Rain? All Dave was caring about.
That's all I care about. Or Come Give Me Deine Hand. Where are you going to put the
Sleepy? So, of course, they released Past Masters, Volumes 1 and 2. We won't go into it too much because I think we might even have a Past Masters episode in our future at some point. But it's kind of a greatest hits, but it's also kind of a non-album, like, rarity. So
yeah.
it sort of works as both things at the same time.
Because where else are you going to get You Know My Name, Look Up the Number, for example?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, these that were then again re-released during the vinyl releases of the last 10 years, the stereo vinyl release, I believe they called that, they just call it Past Masters Volume 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much a replica track to track of the CDs.
I think they're very enjoyable albums to listen to for the fact that you do get the hits as well as some more odds and sods kind of tracks. And you get the other alternate version of Across the Universe is on. It's the non-Let It Be version, the song Let It Be. You get the one without the fuzz guitar. So, I mean, you know, it's worth having for that, too. And they're good collections.
And if you're German, where else are you going to get Schlieptik?
Exactly, exactly.
But I always loved those. Spun them quite a bit on CD back in the day. And now Mono Masters is sort of a go-to for me. It might be one of the better vinyl things to get if you've got a chance to.
Yeah. So we'll end with the granddaddy of them all, probably. I think it's probably up there with the Red and Blue albums in terms of impact. And that's the aforementioned One collection, which turned out to be the biggest selling album of the 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. But that, like, what a simple idea to put all the Beatles number one, well, not necessarily all of them, but... the Beatles' number one hits all on one disc, 27 of them. And it's just such a simple idea, but turned out to be so powerful. And what are your thoughts on One and why it was such a huge hit?
Greatest hits albums as a whole, you know, through the years have been very popular. Eagles' greatest hits being
a
huge example. Well, the CD era... you know, came along, and then people who were born, say, in the late 80s, early 90s, this would be just perfect for them to get into the Beatles. Like, oh, a Beatles one disc I can buy, mm-hmm. got all the, what they think of as the best Beatles songs.
Yeah.
My friend who I do improv with, Nick, he tells me the story of how he got into Beatles. He's like, I found my dad bought Beatles 1 and I listened to that like crazy and just like really got into them and then branched out and started getting into stuff like Abbey Road and things like that. So I think that's been impactful, I think, to turn a whole new generation of people onto the Beatles.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was also very cheap, too. I remember seeing it at like Walmart or Target or something for like $8.99 or, you know, $10 or less. And that's pretty amazing value.
Now, of course, and I believe we did an episode on Beatles One Plus.
Yes.
Which was the re-release, already remastered from 2000 version of that. But so you can get the... from last year, so you can get that and that as a DVD, and there's a Blu-ray version of that, but we'll go out with a track from that. I also wanted to mention before we went out Love that came out in 2006, and that is a strange thing because now we're getting into a new thing, and I thought there'd be more of this type of thing where they take old Beatles tracks and alter them in different ways. In that way, they used all of the original masters, but would change the mix of it, or even mix different songs overlaying, like the drum part from one song over,
mashups.
I thought when Love came out, and in Love, you know, as a companion piece to the Cirque du Soleil Love that started 10 years ago in Las Vegas, I thought we were going to get more of these type of collections, but apparently not. And I think it plays pretty good. It's a good listen. I think I like it a little bit better than Dave does.
Yeah, you do, definitely. I prefer the unadulterated tunes. I don't know, for some reason. I just like it was fun to listen to once or twice, but now when it comes up on random shuffle, I just like, I'm not in the mood to hear Blue Jay Way something and whatever all at once. I just kind of want to hear one of the songs.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if the reason I bring it up is I'm wondering if going forward we might get a collection of like straight up the tunes, but with a slightly different mix. If they might be remix greatest hits album coming out rather than, which I believe OnePlus was a little bit. That way.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if there'll be more of that kind of thing going forward. Of course, we've also gotten a couple collections of albums that have been out, but Let It Be Naked being one of those, and Yellow Submarine Soundtrack, which is like remastered, remixed a little bit versions of old stuff. So I wonder if that's the greatest hits collections we're going to see going forward for the Beatles, stuff that are different listens than you know, just greatest hits.
Well, I have to ask you: are we going to keep buying them, or are we going to keep falling for this? Just the total completists here. We have to have every different permutation of a song, or
probably. But I think. You know, maybe the era of greatest hits albums being big sellers is over anyway.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, now everybody gets their music, like they get their water, you know. It's I pay this for Spotify and this for Tidal and that kind of thing. And, you know, just listen to music through bits and pieces, or even if it is from albums. I'm an Amazon subscriber, so I get Amazon Music, so you can listen to little collections on there. So they even have an anthology collection on there where it's like the anthology, but it's just the best bits of it.
Yeah, they've got that on Spotify as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very different era, and I think that's something we've learned from these compilations, is the record companies keep adapting to the generation, the technology, the times, and so it's just a different way of hearing things now. So I wonder what'll happen for the 60th anniversary of the Beatles coming to America, or what they'll have planned, or in several years, see what happens next. But if you had to rate these overall, and let's say you have a 10-year-old who really wants to get into the Beatles, what are you going to tell the 10-year-old to get of any of these?
Well, you could start him on one, maybe. And then it almost is like if you were like starting a person on greatest hits and then getting them to the full albums, you'd start them on one, then wean them onto the Red and Blue.
Yeah.
And then have them finish by, you know, just giving them the past masters and the other
Sergeant Pepper albums. And all the regular ones. Yeah, I think it's probably good. And it is a really good entry point. One is a really good entry point into getting a good sense of the entire catalog. So, I think we, as I said, we grumble because it looks like they're always grubbing for money. But I think if we've learned anything, these compilations do have a purpose and can be very useful and can be really good too. So
yeah. Let's wrap it up. Of course, we'll be back at some point with part two, which will cover the solo compilation.
Yeah, there's a lot of those too.
So I'm sure you're all spinning Pierre McCartney as we speak. They're listening to the podcast, but Pierre McCartney.
Exactly.
But let's go out with one of the tracks from one, and that will be Yellow Submarine.
In the town where I was born, lived a man who sailed to sea. And he told us of his life in the land of submarines. So we sailed on to the sun till we found the sea of green. And we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine. Next door.